This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 13th of June 2021. Today is the History of Amateur Radio edition of News West, and we've got a bundle of history for you, including some items from the June 1960 edition of the Amateur Radio magazine, a couple of items we dug up from old newspapers, and the special event this week is an interview with Paul Zeed, ex-VK6 Papa Zulu, who held an amateur radio license for 84 years. He reckons it's some sort of a record. We also bring you the Silent Key tribute for John VK6 Zulu November. News West is an all-amateur radio news service for Western Australia and beyond. There are many ways to hear News West, and you can discover these and more at our website, vk6.net. John Howlett, VK6 Zulu November, passed away recently on the 1st of June at Armidale Hospital, and John was aged 83 years. John was survived by his daughter, a son, and two grandsons. John emigrated to Western Australia from England in 1970, and he was self-employed running his own business, which was called J&A Sound. John was licensed originally here in Australia as VK6 ATA and then VK6 ZN from 1991. John was one of the founding members and the first president of the Northern Corridor Radio Group, which formed in 1986. He held the president's chair for 6 years until 1992. On retirement from work, John toured all over Western Australia in his bus, converted to a camper, promoting the Wireless Institute of Australia and amateur radio as a member of the Wireless Institute's VK6 Advisory Council. Where he could, he encouraged local scout groups to participate in Jamboree on the air, donating the use of his equipment and his expertise. In his later years, John was a keen participant in the John Moyle contests, operating from various locations around Australia from his mobile home until his health deteriorated. It was John's wish for there to be no funeral service for him, and the family has respected that wish and will remember him privately. So now, we too remember John, VK6 Zulu November, now Silent Key. I was recently contacted by Alan VK6AMH, who sent me a recorded interview with Phil Zeed, OBE, ex-VK6 Papa Zulu. Phil's 98 years old now and is in an aged care facility in Netherlands. He was part of a regular 2-metre morning net, including Alan VK6AMH, Dave VK6AI, VK6GJ, which is Graham, and VK6AAU, which is Ron, and VK6VET Warren, until he moved into aged care about a year ago, and then he allowed his call sign to lapse. Alan and the others visited Phil recently and took the opportunity to record him recounting his 84 years as a radio amateur. Now, the recording was made in a public area of the care facility, so it's got a bit of background noises and bumps and yells and carry-ons that happens in those settings. However, the majority of the audio from Phil is good enough. All of the crew mentioned above were present and asked questions and pitched in with comments. The whole interview was far too long to put to air in a News West bulletin. In fact, it's longer than our average bulletin. So I've put together parts of it, and the whole 35 minutes is available for download at the vk6.net website in the same place where you download the news from.
I've had my license 84 years.
Good grief, me. 84 years?
84 years.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. I think that must be a record. I reckon that's a record. Because I got it when I was 14, which would have been close to a record there.
Yes.
And I probably lived longer than my contemporaries who would have got a license at 14.
You got it when you were 14?
I got it when I was 14, and I'm now 98, so I've had it for 84 years, and having got it at 14, I probably was one of the first, and any contemporary probably has passed away by then.
Did you have to do a license?
Yes, I
did.
Oh, yeah, Morse as well.
Morse?
I think it was 20 words a minute.
As a 14-year-old?
At 14.
20 words a minute?
Yes.
Yeah,
I used to love Morse. I used to have more contacts on Morse than on anything else. And I could actually listen to other people talking while copying the Morse, because the two parts of the brain work separately. Amazing when you think about it.
Yes, I've seen it. Yep. Yeah. So let me get this right. You're 14. You sit the exam. A written exam?
Yes, it was. It was.
And you weren't allowed to transmit.
No, you're allowed to transmit into a dummy load.
Into a dummy load.
Yes. Which meant that you could probably be heard by people up the road.
Up the road.
My brother and I were still at school. I was 14. And we happened to be very interested in radio. We built all our own radios in those days with valves.
Yeah.
And we heard someone talking, and it was a ham. And we didn't know anything about hams. And he said, "You've talked to someone in India," which we thought was incredible. It was on 20 metres on a home-built radio. And he gave his address. And his address was just down the road opposite where we were living.
Doing a bit of DXing, were you?
DX. About 500 metres or yards in those days. So we went round there and introduced ourselves. He was thrilled to think that. And so he told me how I could get a licence and so on and so forth. And at 14, you had to have special... You had to pass special things at 14. A little bit more than you would if you were of age. And that's how I became a radio ham.
When you compare the equipment you were using when you started with the equipment that you use now.
Oh, that's another point, yes. The equipment. I started off with a crystal set.
Yeah.
A crystal made of my own. I used to get this stuff, Galena, G-A-L-E-N-A, and used to find that, chip it off some, I don't know where you got it, but you chipped it off some crystal, and the cat's whiskers was just a little piece of wire, spring wire, which you made into a coil, so that it would just hit the right spot on the crystal, and when you hit the right spot, you'd hear the signal.
The biggest change was when they went to SSB, wasn't it? Did you have to redesign all your equipment then?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I built my first SSB transmitter myself and receiver.
Didn't you get an invitation from the radio club in Malaysia saying they wanted you to go over as their oldest member?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't COVID.
I would have liked to have done that.
It wasn't COVID that put a stop to that, was it?
No. It was just too much to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very nice gesture.
It was, wasn't it?
Well, I must be their oldest member. And I mentioned, when you work out the years...
Did we mention that Phil's got an OBE? Did we mention that?
No.
We didn't. We should.
Yes, we should.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What have you got the OBE?
He's been on the Royal Yacht.
Have you really?
Yes.
Yeah, met Prince Philip.
I was invited.
Why are you keeping that under your hat for?
I was invited on the Royal Yacht. I met the Queen and... Louis Lord Mountbatten, who's dead now.
He is. And, the uncle of Prince Philip.
Prince Philip and a few of the other people. And said hello.
We will leave it there with Phil and his press corps. There's lots of interesting stuff. There was more to come. However, it's very long and it's very noisy. It was in a public area of the nursing home. They did mention a book that Phil published. It was his memoirs and it's called You Never Know, and it was published in 2018. And it's available as an ebook on just about every online bookshop. You Never Know is the name of the book. So if you're interested, go and have a look. And thanks to Alan and the rest of the crew for doing this interview. It was fantastic. And as I said before, the whole interview, all 35 minutes of it, is available on the VK6.net website under the Listen tab, where you download the news from.
From the editorial, AR Magazine, June 1960, Recommendations for an Australian Federal Communications Commission. On the 5th of May, in the House of Representatives, during Grievance Day debate, the Honourable Mr Fairhall, Federal Member for Paterson in New South Wales, directed a recommendation to the government that consideration be given to the establishment in Australia of a counterpart of the American Federal Communications Commission, and as a first step towards this end, that the government invite to Australia one of the American commissioners to advise as to how this problem should be tackled. The American FCC, as an independent body empowered to deal with all communication problems in the United States of America, including the allotment of operating frequencies to the various communication services. The amateur service, which vitally interests us, is administered by the FCC, but in a far different manner to that existing in this country. Under an independent commission, the American amateur has considerable say in his own affairs as a recognized international frequency user. Proposals to make variations in regulations governing the operation of amateur stations are published in a Federal Register, wherein all interested parties are invited to file comments for or against the proposals. The amateurs are thus given the opportunity to give expressions of opinion in matters which concern themselves. The American Communications Act incorporates amateur regulations along with regulations governing the operation of all other frequency users, and these are legally binding until such time as they are amended by a properly constituted procedure by which the frequency users have a powerful say in their own affairs. Because Australia is a growing nation with a bigger voice in international affairs, its system of dealing with communications, while serving satisfactorily since the introduction of radio as a communication media, is fast outgrowing its usefulness and is in dire need of complete overhauling. The Wireless Institute of Australia, as the nationally constituted organisation representing the internationally registered amateur service in Australia, commends Mr Fairhall for his stand on this matter and looks forward in the hope that the Australian government will see the wisdom of his recommendation. In the meantime, the Postmaster General, the Honourable C.W. Davidson, OBE, has said that he will form a committee, and in this regard, Mr. Davidson has said that the Wireless Institute of Australia will have actual representation on this committee and not merely be invited to send an observer. The WIA assures all Australian amateurs that it will be pleased to represent their interests on this committee when it is formed. Federal Executive.
Since 1931, providing amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6 ARN.
From the AR Magazine, June 1960, two book reviews. Radio Amateur's Handbook, the 37th edition, 1960. This year, reviewing the annual edition of this publication was a pleasant rainy day occupation for me and overcame my disappointment at the rain ruining a perfectly good painting day. It is rightly styled the Standard Manual of Amateur Radio Communication, and over 3 million copies have been sold. Its sections on the theory of radio communications have been revised to keep abreast of the state of the art, and material on the construction of equipment includes new designs in all categories. There are transmitters and receivers for every level of cost and construction ability. Special methods of amateur communication, such as sideband and radio teletypes, are treated in sufficient detail so that any student of the art will be able to understand the basic principles. The theory and practice of amateur mobile radio equipment is thoroughly covered, and the use of transistors is included wherever applicable. The chapter on vacuum tube characteristics has been brought up to date, providing, as usual, one of the most complete listings of characteristics and base diagrams to be found between the covers of any one book. I was a little disappointed to note that the only power supplies using silicon or germanium rectifiers were described on pages 494 and 495, where it is suggested that Silicon rectifiers may be used in lieu of the selenium types specified. The other reference is in section 6, pages 201 to 205, a compact 650 watt amplifier where germanium rectifiers are used in a dual voltage doubling circuit. Shortwave receivers for the beginner. Many years ago, when I was in my teens, I used to avidly search any literature which became available to me in search of circuits similar to those described in this publication, and I can recommend this booklet to our younger constructors. It also contains information on setting up a receiving station, reporting, etc., and should be invaluable to the shortwave radio listener. The components used in the receivers are of British origin, and identical units or acceptable substitutes should be readily available from your usual supplier.
Hi, it's David from the Peel Amateur Radio Group, inviting you to join us in our June Slow CW contest. Following the success of the PARG Slow CW contest earlier in the year, the club has organised another event from 1900 till 2100 hours Western Standard Time on Saturday, 26th of June 21. Lock the date and time in your calendar now so you don't miss it. The first contest attracted participants not only from within the club membership, Peel region of Western Australia, it also had operators from New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia. The club thanks all those who joined in and welcomed their participation again, along with many more Morse operators. The purpose of the contest is not perfect code at 40 words per minute, far, far from it. It is to encourage people to have a go and enjoy playing with Morse code. It is for people who are just learning or even relearning Morse to have a go without the pressure of a full-blown competition. We expect there will be mistakes made by many people over the duration of the contest. But that's half the fun of it. Experienced Morse operators are also welcome to join in the contest. How can I join in the fun, I hear you ask? You can go solo, join forces in a small or large team. You can go portable, as some of our members did last time. We also had a team in PARG's Portable Communication Unit. Or just fire up your gear at home, with or without a fire and a glass of your favourite, and did-a-did away. You can even use aids to help you decipher and formulate your messages, just as long as you key your messages personally. Please visit our website, www.parg.org.au, and look for the SCW June 21 page. You will find some helpful hints on CW and a logger spreadsheet. The logger is for operators and shortwave listeners as well, so everyone can join in the fun. The club hopes to see you, or should that be hear you, on the 26th of June from 1900 till 2100 hours Western Standard Time. Happy CWing to all, 73s and dit-dit.
Also from the AR June 1960 with a bold black border, obituary, Bert Congdon, VK6, Bravo Charlie, Silent Key. It is with regret that we have to advise of the passing of VK6BC, Bertie Congdon. Many an amateur of VK6 owes a debt of gratitude to Bert for the enthusiasm that was always applied to the imparting of his necessary knowledge to achieve the AOCP. He founded the Subiaco Radio Society, the first radio club in Australia, and saw it grow until it became the Radio Society of Western Australia. Bert saw service in the First World War, which left him with an impairment in his health. But even in World War II, he conducted Morse classes tirelessly. Bert spent almost his whole life in the postal service and retired a couple of years ago. Even then, he was never idle, and only a week before his death, he was heard on the air. Sincere sympathy is extended to his wife, children, and grandchildren.
A good way to encourage someone's entry into a hobby is to acknowledge their achievements. Next weekend, News West does just that when we take a look at new amateurs. We'll congratulate those who have newly earned call signs, be it first-timers or upgrades and call sign changes. And on top of that, we'll present items to inform new hams and perhaps give you something to think about and ideas of what you could get up to. What was your experience as a new ham? How about telling your story about your entry into the hobby? We'd love to hear from you. If you're unsure how to go about it, shout out on newswest@vk6.net, because that's our email address, newswest@vk6.net.
This is VK6 ARN.
From the Beverly Times, Thursday, the 19th of May, 1960. Ham picks up urgent message. Radio hams are constantly exchanging conversations with each other halfway across the world in a jargon all their own. Sometimes they pick up messages of vital importance. And such was the case when on March the 2nd, a few days after the Agadir earthquake disaster, Bill Hayes, who works in the Program Operations Department of the BBC External Services and in his spare time is an enthusiastic ham, was tuning his homemade amateur radio equipment over the 15-metre band and heard a Moroccan station calling for urgent help. His transmitter was soon tuned in and contact was made with the Moroccan ham, who had set up an emergency station outside Agadir and was making an urgent appeal for the drug Mefafed in large quantities. Hayes immediately passed the message on to the local police, who in turn informed Scotland Yard. A few days later, Hayes received a letter from the British Red Cross saying that Scotland Yard had passed on the message just as they were arranging for a team of doctors to go to Morocco, and they had been able to send a supply of the drug with them.
Now, Mitch, VK6 Megahertz is organising a fox hunt here in VK6, and he's looking at doing this on a bi-monthly basis. The fox will be hidden in a publicly accessible location within 25 kilometres of the Perth CBD, and whoever picks up the fox and returns it results in a prize for the finder. Also, if you're keen on sponsoring this event, please let Mitch know, and you'll be acknowledged in every hunt. The fox will beacon about every 10 seconds and will be audible from King's Park, which is the starting spot, with a TX power of about 25 milliwatts. If you're keen to come along, please let Mitch know. The meet time will be 10 a.m. on Sunday the 4th of July at the War Memorial in King's Park. The transmitter will be enabled remotely from the site. So from foxes to Perth Tech. Perth Tech is still on the boil. We thought we'd better let you know. We've got no big announcements this week, but we're busy getting everything together for the raffle, and we'll tell you about that about 5 minutes after we find out ourselves, so watch this space.
From the Australian Women's Weekly, Wednesday, the 23rd of November, 1960. This article is called Schoolboys Run Own Radio Station by Carol Tattersfield. What's the time in Russia at the moment? What's the density of Kerry timber per cubic foot? First-year boys at Sydney's Christian Brothers Intermediate Technical High School can pick up the answers in a flash from their own amateur radio station. Built into a corner of the classroom next to the blackboard, this workmanlike receiver and transmitter has carried a barrage of questions and answers to and from 50 different countries. In Russia, Fiji, New Zealand and America, radio hams everywhere, watch out for our boys, said the Reverend Brother D. Kinsella, who established the radio station VK2 Alpha Tango Quebec about 2 years ago. It's been my own hobby for several years, he said, and I thought it would interest the boys as an after-school and lunch break hobby. However, from an extracurricular hobby and the minimum of equipment, VK2 ATQ has boomed into a station with worldwide range and has to become an educational boon to the school. You see, besides the technical know-how the boys pick up from merely learning to use the station, explained Brother Kinsella, it also serves to underline what's taught in geography, maths, and science lessons. The station is also used to bring the boys into direct contact with experts on various subjects of duty. As part of a woodwork, metalwork, or technical drawing lesson, for example, a radio interview is arranged with a leading Australian specialist. A quarter of an hour's talk by the specialist is followed by a quarter of an hour's question by the boys, to which the specialist then gives his answers. Most successful of these sessions was the one with a Katoomba timber merchant. Before his talk, he arranged for a bundle of timber samples to be sent to the school so that the boys could actually see what he was describing. Other interviews arranged in this way include those with a doctor on health and a scientist on astronomy and moon watching. The class also uses the receiver for tuning into regular educational programs from the ABC. Brother Kinsella realizes that his scheme has to be used with discretion. Quote, "We'll be most unpopular with other radio hams if we don't restrict our time on the air," he said. "We must avoid interference with them." He also has to be sure that the station's equipment is used correctly. Because of this, only 6 boys are allowed to operate the receiver and transmitter. But training boys between 12 and 15 to the pitch of perfection required before a license is issued has its problems. Officially, a ham has to pass a stiff examination set by the Postmaster's General Department and has to be at least 15 years old. "I had to do a bit of persuasion in the right quarters," Brother Kinsella said, "before the PMG decided to waive the exams and the age limit and give us a license. And even then, I, or another licensed operator, have to supervise the station. Nevertheless, each boy operator has complete control when his turn comes around in the after-school sessions. The number turns a boy has is determined by the number of contacts he can make in a given time. The fewer the contacts, the more frequent the turns. Competition for exotic and faraway contacts is keen, and the trophies for each success are highly prized. The trophies are the call cards, which are exchanged between hams all over the world. They give proof of the call and the details of the reception. Each station has its individual card, and some of them are pretty colourful. The school's call card isn't as picturesque as some of the ones they've received from Antarctica or Czechoslovakia, but it is original, a simple photograph of the station in operation. "These bright sparks looked very expert as they did a mock transmission for us before really getting down to business after school. We'd rather be doing this than going home and play," said 12-year-old John Murphy. "I picked up a Fijian last time, and I picked up a doctor. Remember he said he'd call us back today," said Tony Pantomise. "And we're going on a field day for the Australian Wireless Institute up at Gosford soon," broke in 13-year-old Paul Batillo. "And there'll be a fox hunt. You know what that is? We have to find a hidden transmitter with a direction-finding equipment and go in motor cars to follow the fox." "But hey, fellas," called out Terry Doolan, "whose turn is it now?" "Your turn, Terry," confirmed Brother Kinsella, and turning to us with a smile, he added, "VK2, ATQ is the most efficient station."
Good morning, yes, it's me again, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline, the 13th of June, 2021. Today, what I have for you, from John, VK6X-Ray Juliet, the following items from my, looks like, deceased estate of VK6 November Zulu, on behalf of Kevin's wife. I have the following items: a Kenwood TH78 Alpha, handheld, condition unknown, $100 for that. A Yaesu Fox Tango 897 HF, VHF, UHF, all-mode transceiver, $800. A Kenwood power supply PS30 suit to above transceiver, $100. Yaesu Fox Tango 851 remote mounted HF, VHF, UHF all mode transceiver, complete with mounting and cable for vehicle use, $800. There's an MFJ Versa Tuner 2 HF tuner, $100. A SWR meter model 176, $50. TV 3000 LP low pass filter, $50. There's a Reese, that's RECE transceiver tester, model Uniform Hotel 74, $50. All equipment is located in a southern suburb of Perth and appears in very good condition. Prices are estimate. Now, cash and carry on pickup. For further inquiries, phone John, VK6 X-Ray Juliet, 0417 186 420. 0417 186 420. Next item, looking for a tower computer with Windows 7 or 10, preferably in working order. From Peter, VK6 Yankee Victor, a tower computer, Windows 7, Windows 10, and please contact Peter. His home is 0894013912, 0894013912, or mobile 0408013914. Again, 0408013914. Still looking for help for someone to help a disabled amateur in Ballarat set up his station, a VHF listening station at least. Phone Jeff, 0428 712 271. Someone must be able to help him, surely. 0428 712 271. And that came via VK three-wheel jalopy. And also wanted is a 3-500 Zulu Golf amplifier tube. Excellent condition. Please contact Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, on 0407-030-592. Too quick? Okay, I'll slow down. 0407-030-592. Or vk6whiskeybravo@yahoo.com. That's the email address. VictorKilo6WhiskeyBravo@yahoo.com. Malcolm, VK6 Lima Charlie, did not receive any calls for his antennas. If you're looking for an antenna for 80 metres with forward gain, also for 20 metres and 40 metres and 30 metres, please contact Malcolm. His email address is VictorKilo6LimaCharlie@optusnet.com.au. VictorKilo6LimaCharlie@optusnet.com.au. That's all for me this week. Thank you for listening. Any email correspondence during the week for next week, please contact me, VictorKilo6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. 7-3 till next time.
Thanks for staying with us. We hope you'll join us next week in welcoming new amateurs to the hobby. Thanks to the team this week. Mike for his marathon effort on the mic. Do you see what I did there? Roy and Andrew for operating the still and mixing the drinks. Jeff for taking a week off without pay. And I hope all went well for you, Jeff. Thanks to the broadcast team and callback collectors and to those who pour their drinks. Please don't switch off until you give your callbacks. Getting a good number of callbacks does great things to our ego here at News West. A good way to boost your ego is to get on air and make some noise.